This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where one of the greatest subjects for intense debate in this great nation involves the existence of God, the existence and the beneficial nature or destructive nature of religious faith, and the place for all of that for the what is called the theory of evolution. Richard Dawkins insists evolution is not a theory, it is a fact. And that is the theme of his book. It is called The Greatest Show on Earth, The Evidence for Evolution. His immediate previous book, called The God Delusion, was a spectacularly successful bestseller all around the world, with a huge number, hundreds of thousands of copies purchased, and a tremendously influential book, The God Delusion, helped to launch a spirited new debate about the nature of man and the universe. And for that, Professor Dawkins, we thank you, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Let me begin with, I'm sure, something you've been asked about many, many times. It is clearly meant at the very beginning of your book to inspire controversy. You specifically compare advocates of intelligent design who would question Darwinian evolution, you compare them to Holocaust deniers. Why do you believe that that is an apt comparison?
Not so much intelligent design. My comparison is with what I call history deniers, to people who deny the history of the world and claim that the world is only 6,000 years old. That was my actual comparison. The world is, in fact, 4.6 billion years old. The difference between those two, obviously, is dramatically great. And so that seems to me to be history denial on the same scale as Holocaust denial. In both cases, the historical evidence is clear. The Holocaust definitely happened. The world is definitely billions of years old, not thousands of years old. So both of them are history deniers. I did not wish to imply any kind of political concordance between them. There clearly isn't.
Okay, aside from the political concordance, even if you... And I want to come back to some of the promotional material that's been released from your book, which very specifically talks about intelligence design in the context of Holocaust.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, and which you'll agree, that's unfair.
Oh, what's unfair?
That it's unfair to equate advocates of intelligent design with Holocaust deniers.
Yes, of course it is, and I didn't do that. I compared Holocaust deniers to young Earth creationists.
Okay, so you will acknowledge that most Holocaust deniers do have an agenda that is malevolent.
It's a malevolent agenda inspired by anti-Semitism.
Right. Would you say the same thing about young Earth creationists? Do you think they have a...
Okay. No.
They do not have a malevolent agenda.
No, I think they have an ignorant agenda.
Okay. Yeah. So isn't it a bit dangerous and unfair to equate ignorance to malevolence?
Not if you're clear, as I am. I'm equating one thing, which is their denial of history. I call them both history deniers. I demonstrate that young Earth creationists are history deniers. I then cast around to say, where else can we find history deniers? The best example I can find of history deniers is Holocaust deniers. There's no other resemblance, but that's an important resemblance. I'm interested in the history of the world, and this is an important matter.
I was struck recently by a column you wrote in the Wall Street Journal, and in fact I was so struck about it, I blogged about it and wrote about it, because you are put on the same page with Karen Armstrong, and a lot of the material in your column is based on material in your book. What struck me most about your column, and I think you know where I'm going, is your acknowledgement that it might be possible that in this vast, vast universe with literally billions of stars, galaxies that we know about, and many, many more that we don't know about, you acknowledge that it is possible that life in any form could be unique to this one planet.
Yes, it would be very surprising, because as you say, the number of planets is simply huge. And so on the same principle as, you know, we were wrong about thinking the world was the center of the universe and so on, we very probably would be wrong if we thought that this was the only planet that had life. Nevertheless, it is possible. because we have no evidence to the contrary. I forget whether I said this in the Wall Street Journal. But the next point I'm going to make, which is that if it were true that this was the only planet in the universe that had life, that would have dramatic consequences. What it would mean is that the origin of life would have to be a truly spectacularly rare event. And that means that we'd be wasting our time trying to explain it. And we can explain evolution, which happens after the origin of life, but if it were true that this were the only planet among all those billions that has life, then we would be wasting our time trying to develop a theory of the origin of life. I don't actually think it is true. I think there probably is quite a lot of life around the universe, although not enough for us probably to be likely ever to meet another specimen of it, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm pleased to hear your acknowledgement. One of the things you said in the Wall Street Journal was you said that you cannot say for certain that life exists elsewhere, that there might be life only here, but you were very certain that if life does exist elsewhere, it would be subject to Darwinian evolution.
Well, I wouldn't say very certain. That would be my best guess. I have a fairly strong hunch that certainly we know of no other mechanism that could give rise to anything as complicated or apparently designed as life. And I think it's highly probable that if we do find life elsewhere in the universe, it will turn out to be Darwinian in some sense. I mean, not in a detailed sense. It probably won't have DNA, but it will have something sort of equivalent to DNA.
But there is no Darwinian means, and you don't attempt this in your book, really, in The Greatest Show on Earth, your new book, which is posted up on our website for people who are interested. There's no Darwinian means for explaining what you just talked about, the origins of life, how you go, in other words, you can go in a dark, as you do elegantly in your book, from very simple unicellular organisms, you can go all the way to human beings, to us sitting here, but you can't go from dead rock to live matter.
That's absolutely correct. The Darwinian theory starts when you have the origin of a self-replicating entity, something like DNA. Darwinian theory itself does not explain the origin of life. We need another theory for the origin of life. That theory will come from the subject of chemistry rather than biology, and we still lack that theory. It is a gap in our knowledge.
Let us go to Jonathan in Poulsbo, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The issue of history deniers, now I confess, Dr. Dawkins, I've read several of your books, but not the most recent. I did, however, read an excerpt from the book published in Newsweek recently.
Yes.
In which you use the term history deniers to refer to people who deny that humans share a common ancestor with chimpanzees.
Yes.
Which, of course, is different from the age of the Earth issue.
I don't remember the prime. I would be happy to use it for both.
I am not a young Earth creationist. I have no problem with the age of the Earth. But as a biologist, I do have a problem with the idea that humans share a common ancestor with chimpanzees.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
I see
no mechanism biologically to get from there to here.
From where to where?
From an ape-like a primate to a human or chimpanzee.
We are ape-like primates, isn't it? There's no question of getting to it. We are ape-like primates.
Well, then an ancestor who is not human.
Yes. I mean, what you have to get from is a common ancestor with chimpanzees, which lived about 7 million years ago and which gave rise to chimpanzees on one hand and gave rise to us on the other.
That's the claim I object to. I challenge that.
Did you say you're a teacher of biology?
I am a biologist.
Jonathan, give a basis for your objection.
Well, as I said, we see no mechanism in biology that would get you from there to here. For example, we see lots of evidence for changes within existing species, and most of the evidence cited for Darwinism is precisely that. But the extrapolation from that to the origin of new species and organs and body plans is non-existent. The evidence for that is non-existent.
No, if you go for sufficient length of time, you're talking about change within a species. If you take the change within a species and then just produce that for a bit longer and a bit longer and a bit longer, at some point, imperceptibly, they will gradually become so different that they can no longer interbreed easily, then they can no longer interbreed at all. At that point, they're different species. This happens all the time. What's the problem with it?
Okay, we will, Jonathan, if you want to provide an answer to that, we will give you a few moments on the other end.
This is a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, a best of. Lots more coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is the Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
In his last bestseller, Richard Dawkins wrote about what he called the God delusion, attacking religion in general and evidence of God in particular. His new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, is not an attack. It is rather an exposition and a defense of the science and the evidence behind Darwinian evolution. Evidence which has not persuaded Jonathan from Poulsbo, Washington. Jonathan, your last point to Professor Dawkins.
Well, my objection to the theory is that no mechanism has been demonstrated that would produce, certainly not natural selection and mutation, has been demonstrated to produce the new species and organs and body plans required by Darwinian evolution.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just wrong. I mean, when you say you're a biologist, are you a professional biologist? Are you at a university?
I am a professional biologist trained at Berkeley.
You're trained at Berkeley?
Yes, trained at Berkeley.
I taught at Berkeley.
Did you encounter Professor Dawkins when you were at Cal Berkeley, Jonathan?
I think I went to a book talk by you there once.
Okay, but did you actually study biology at Berkeley?
Yes.
And you came out thinking there's no mechanism to go from a common ancestor to chimpanzees and humans?
Well, there are speculative mechanisms. I'm saying that there is no demonstrated mechanism that can do that.
Well, I'm shocked at my old university.
Okay, what's the best, if you were to try to counter Jonathan with reference to specific chapters in your book, which chapters in The Greatest Show on Earth should he consult first?
Well, I think the chapter on comparative molecular genetics, showing the comparative evidence, comparing each species with each other species, looking at the same genes in different species, because we've got a digital code here, the genes are actually digital, you can compare them letter by letter, word by word, and if you look at humans and chimpanzees, they're very, very similar indeed. Just to say mice and rats are very similar to each other. You've got a beautiful hierarchical pattern of similarity, a hierarchy just like a branching tree. It is a branching tree. It's a family tree. The only alternative to a family tree, when you look at it this way, is that God deliberately set out to deceive us in the most devious way you could imagine.
Let's go to Todd in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a biology educational background, and I am also a Christian, and I believe in intelligent design, but I believe in an old earth, and I'm open to the, possible truth behind the theory of evolution. I think that people should have an open mind toward intelligent design and toward Darwinian evolution and be willing to look at the evidence. And my own faith doesn't rest upon whether God did it instantly or whether he did it over eons of time. I believe that ultimately life originated from God.
I'll tell you where Richard Dawkins disagrees with you is he thinks that if you have an open mind, the evidence is already so overwhelming, as he puts it, evolution is not a theory, it is a fact. A fact of life. And Professor Dawkins?
Well, I'm all in favor of open minds, obviously, and of looking at the evidence. And as Mr. Medved said, I think the evidence does point overwhelmingly in one direction. Of course, you know that any respectable bishop or priest would agree with you that evolution is true, but they would say something like God did it, which I take it to be roughly your position, that you think evolution is right, but you think that God perhaps had a hand in starting it off, or do you actually think that God controlled the actual direction that it went in?
I don't presume to, speak for God. I think there's, in my opinion, overwhelming evidence that there's intelligence behind the design of the universe and the way things function. I'll admit I have bias in that direction, but I don't presuppose to know whether God, had his hand in the entire process or whether he started the watch and let go.
Blind Watchmaker, by the way, is another book by Richard Dawkins. Let us go to Bruce in Seattle. Bruce, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Dawkins.
Well, thank you for taking my call. First of all, Dr. Dawkins, is Bruce Chapman from Discovery Institute calling. And
right.
I was frustrated with this conversation because most of the time I hear straw man arguments about intelligent design. Your new book apparently doesn't really deal with intelligent design, but it seems to me that in your previous book you said it's a question of science, that there is a scientific, it is a scientific argument. I congratulate you for that. But if it is, how about having a debate with Stephen Meyer, who is the author of another new book, The Signature in the Cell, which deals with this question. And and have this in a respectful, civilized, scholarly fashion where you look at the scientific arguments, pro and con. And
now, when you say that I don't deal with intelligent design, I do, because I deal with creationism, and, of course, intelligent design is simply another name for creationism.
Well, if it's another name for creationism, why do you distinguish between creationism and intelligent design very early in this program?
I don't.
Hold on, Bruce.
You did earlier on, when we were talking about the Holocaust denier analogy. You said you applied that analogy to old Earth creationists. Intelligent design advocates are not old Earth creationists.
Sorry. I applied the history deniers to young Earth creationists.
I'm sorry, young Earth creationists, yes.
But you
know that intelligent design advocates are not young Earth creationists.
And that was the distinction, that was precisely the distinction that I was making. That's why I said that I was not accusing intelligent design people of being history deniers in that sense.
But you just said that intelligent design is another name for creationism.
It is another name for creationism, but not for young Earth creationism.
Bruce Chapman?
In that case, you've got an argument with your previous caller also, because that would be a theistic evolutionist proposition, which is also, at some by your definition, if it's not Darwinian evolution, it is creationism in some fashion. There isn't any other kind of evolution as far as you're concerned.
Where do you guys think that? I mean, do you think God did it?
I don't know. I don't think that
That's what you say. You always pretend it might have been an alien from outer space or something.
Well, you know very well that what you mean is God. Expelled, but I think that was your line and expelled. But I think the thing that you really ought to consider, in all seriousness, is that there is, by your own definition, there is a scientific argument. Put that scientific argument to the test, not with somebody who's, you know, a straw man that you bring up, but have somebody like Meyer, who has written a very scholarly book, to actually debate this topic with you, or just have a discussion about it.
All right, the proposal's on the table. Response from Professor Dawkins. Thank you, Bruce.
I will have a discussion with somebody who has a genuinely different scientific point of view. I have never come across any form of creationism, whether you call it intelligent design or not, which has a serious scientific case to put. The objection to having debates with people like that is that it gives them a kind of respectability. If a real scientist goes onto a debating platform with a creationist, it gives a kind of respectability which I do not think that your people have earned.
We will be right back with Richard Dawkins, the author of The Greatest Show on Earth, The Evidence for Evolution, and more of your calls.
The Michael Medved Show, michaelmedved.com.
You're listening to a best of The Michael Medved Show. For complete show archives, go to michaelmedved.com and consider becoming a Medhead. Use the promo code SPRING40 for some special discounts. When you become a premium subscriber, you get access to hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and of course our commercial-free radio show going back years and years. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A case regarding Mississippi's law that bans most abortions after just 15 weeks of pregnancy is set to go before the Supreme Court. That makes the first law to reach the court out of a wave of states intending to challenge the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. The court expected to hear the case this fall. Israel says its pre-dawn airstrikes on Gaza hit facilities belonging to the terrorist group Hamas and the homes of several commanders. Power lines and main roads were damaged as well. Secretary of State Tony Blinken in Denmark reminding everyone,
Palestinians and Israelis, like people everywhere, have the right to live in safety and security. This is not an Israeli privilege or a Palestinian privilege. It's a human right.
Blinken also saying the U.S. and allies are intensely focused on diplomatic efforts to encourage de-escalation. USA Radio News.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You're listening to a Best of the Michael Medved Show.
And I should say that Richard Dawkins' new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, it's based upon a T-shirt that he was given in which evolution was described as the greatest show on earth, the only show in town. And in Seattle tonight, the only show in town with Dr. Dawkins is at the University of Washington at the Heck Edmondson Pavilion. Doors opening at 7 p.m. for those listeners who are interested in attending. Will there be a chance for questions?
Oh, most definitely, yes. Yep. Yes.
In your lecture tonight?
Yes.
All right, that's tonight. At the University of Washington. And I also should note that this book, though we're speaking in sometimes heated terms with Dr. Dawkins and with callers about some of his arguments in this book and others, this book is illustrated with a series of handsome full-color plates helping to lay out what he describes as the evidence for evolution. Let's go to Jack in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the MedVed Show.
Hello, Mr. Dawkins.
Hello.
I've been reading there's some new evidence that shows that we might not be related to the Neanderthal or Homo erectus species, to which some paleoanthropologists are now saying it must be that we evolved following a different path from some earlier species like that Homo habilis. If this turns out to be true, and without any intermittent remains to show a gradual change, will true believers in evolution be forced to claim that in a relatively short period of time, Homo habilis somehow went into an extremely fast form of evolution, a sort of turbo evolution to produce the first humans, that so-called mitochondrial Eve that appeared in Ethiopia near the Red Sea?
I'm not familiar with the research that you're talking about. It wouldn't be that dramatic, actually, because if you look at all those fossils, whether Homo habilis, Homo erectus, or Neanderthal, they're all pretty much the same. And so if what you're suggesting is that Homo erectus is not our direct ancestor, which is normally considered to be, but if Homo erectus is not, and if we're descended from Homo habilis by a different route, then that would not be too dramatic a finding. It would be all of a piece with other minor upsets that have occurred in the history of biology. So it would be very interesting, but it wouldn't be a major revolutionary finding.
Let's go to Andrew in Minneapolis. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Richard Dawkins.
See, I just have a question, Mr. Dawkins. What I'm not understanding is your process of thinking. You made the comment about, you know, the issue of the Holocaust, and people who deny it are, you immediately slide into it's malicious and anti-Semitic, which I must first say that the Jews of Europe are not Semites. Hebrew Arabic is not their primary language. But regardless, how do you go from, you know, your study and your experience and then say that this issue is off limits, you cannot question it? And then if people who do question it, you label them with basically a moral failure on their part.
We have a Holocaust denier on our hands, do we hear?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. I don't wish to argue about that. It's not the subject of my book. It was simply an analogy that I was making. It's a very small part of the book. I could argue about Holocaust denial, but I don't think you'll find many people on your side, and I don't really think I want to talk about it.
I appreciate your response, Professor Dawkins. Let's go to Jason, Taylorville, Illinois. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Richard Dawkins, who is not a Holocaust denier.
I just was going to ask Richard, I believe in creationism, and I do that out of faith, which is, I feel like it might enrich my life. I want to know why he cares, why he dedicated his life to changing my mind.
And that's by the way, Jason, that's a fascinating and it seems to me, important question.
Are you suggesting to me that you allow what makes you feel good, what enriches your life, to govern what you think is true about the real world?
Well, you define faith to me.
Faith is belief in something without evidence.
Okay, why do you have a problem if believing in a creator makes me live a more enriched, fulfilling life? The evidence is overwhelming.
I have a problem with, I don't mind how you get an enriched and fulfilled life. What I do have a problem with is if you go from there to saying that X gives me a fulfilled and enriched life, therefore, what X says about the world is true. If say, a belief in fairies gave you an enriched and fulfilled life, you'd be welcome to have that enriched and fulfilled life. But that would not make fairies exist.
But historically, belief in God has worked somewhat better than belief in fairies.
Nevertheless.
And if you apply Darwinian principles about natural selection, why haven't religious impulses been selected out? We'll get to that and more with Richard Dawkins.
You're listening to a special Best of the Michael Medved Show. If you want to go into the archives and visit the radio shows from 2015, 2010, and even before, become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com. When you become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com, you get access to years and years of our previous shows, hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and more. And it's also just a great way to support the show. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and subscribe today. Use the promo code SPRING40 for a special discount.
On the Michael Medved Show, let me follow up with Richard Dawkins, the author of The Greatest Show on Earth. In this book and in previous books, you acknowledge that evolution doesn't stop. It's a continuous process. Right? I mean, you're nodding. Yes. You're nodding.
Sorry, I must remember it's radio.
Right. No, sure. But if evolution is a continuous process, then once we developed as Homo sapiens and the current man in its current form was here, it hasn't. We've continued to evolve. Wouldn't you think that given your negative view of religious faith, your negative view of people who believe in fairies or believe in things that simply aren't true, that through evolutionary pressure, there would be natural selection operating to greatly reduce the number of people who have deep, abiding, life-changing, and to us, life-enhancing religious faith? Shouldn't that be a trait in humankind that is selected out by the Darwinian process.
Remember that Darwinian selection is not necessarily producing what any one person would regard with a value judgment as of high value. What natural selection favors is the ability to reproduce. And in order for something to be favored by natural selection, what that actually means on the ground is that individuals who have that quality have more children than individuals who don't. So to say that religious belief, for example, has a selective advantage simply means religious people would have more children than non-religious
and
people.
And would survive long enough to have children, and more of those children
would survive long enough to have children. But nowadays, since surviving long enough to have children is pretty easy, few people die young in civilized societies anyway, that means that having children itself is the main thing. So if there is a genetic component, which there probably isn't, but if there is a genetic component to either religious belief and or tendency to want to have lots of children or tendency to have lots of children, then we do indeed have a possible positive selection pressure in favor of whatever it takes to make people want to have children. So if a certain religious belief makes you have larger families, for example, then there would be selective advantage in that. But that's all it would mean. It doesn't have to mean goodness in any other sense.
Again, I'm not talking about goodness. I'm just talking about, in other words, wouldn't you assume that just logically, that people believing something that was a destructive illusion, you can name your own people believing the great spaghetti monster in the sky. There's someone who's ridiculed traditional faith by talking about the great spaghetti monster. But that kind of belief, if you allow that belief to animate your life and to determine a lot of your behavior, that would be a maladaptation, that would be something that would make it tougher for someone to reproduce successfully over generations.
I think it's complicated. I think that what we have here is possibly, but we're going back now way before civilized life to a time when we really were subject to the cutting edge of natural selection. What I do think is probably that something like religious belief did have survival advantage because it's so ubiquitous. All societies in the world.
Right.
Have religion of some kind or another.
Right.
So probably, the way I'd put it would be that a psychological predisposition which leads people to religion under the right conditions, the kind of predisposition I'm thinking of might be a tendency to be obedient to authority, the tendency to believe what your elders tell you. Now, I could well imagine that that would have positive survival value, a child especially. You need to believe what your parents tell you. Don't pick up the snake. You have to believe that, or you don't lived long enough to reproduce. So a tendency to have a brain, a child brain, that believes what its parents tell it is likely to have survival value. Now, that brain is automatically vulnerable to any other things that parents tell it, whether or not they're well-founded.
Lots more coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Based on 30 hours of intimate interviews, the superb new PBS documentary, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words, allows the Supreme Court Justice to tell his remarkable story just as he had narrated to family members or close friends. His recollections come alive through expertly edited still photos and film footage showing his rise from desperate poverty in the segregated South to appointment to the nation's highest court. His confirmation process, nearly derailed by last-minute clearly dubious charges by one-time aide Anita Hill, makes for riveting viewing, highlighting a much younger Joe Biden's bumbling role as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The two-hour film is rated PG-13 for some of the salacious aspects of Anita Hill's testimony, but viewers of all ages will feel inspired by the heartfelt patriotism and deep religious faith that allow Justice Thomas to transcend every obstacle. Created Equal, a masterful piece of work, clearly counts among the year's best films. I'm Michael Medved.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
Last thing on this, and then we'll go back to our callers. But is it not possible that that survival advantage, which you acknowledge could be there for religious faith because it's so ubiquitous, it's found absolutely everywhere, that part of that survival advantage could be simply the idea of a long-term horizon of people's tendency, of some people more than others, to be cognizant of mortality and of death and
yes.
of the possibility of an afterlife, and that could confer, in fact, a survival advantage.
I think it really could. I mean, if, say, we were all motivated the whole time by a fear of death, and if that impaired our performance in life, if we were so busy worrying about death that we didn't actually get on with life, then having some kind of a belief, whether true or false, that makes you believe you're going to survive your death, could have an advantage. More generally, I think a tendency to optimism, a tendency to believe that, young men have a tendency to take risks and to believe that they're impregnable, invulnerable. Maybe that does have an advantage, especially in an animal that perhaps needed to have warriors to go and fight for the tribe or something like that. If you believe that you're going to survive your death, you'd be a braver warrior.
Appreciate it. Let us go to Joey in Marietta, Georgia. Joey, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins, author of The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yes, Dr. Dawkins, I have a mathematics background, not biology or archaeology, and
I was raised a creationist, and I've been reading your book. I'm about halfway through. In the chapter on human ancestors, you talked about all the different skeletons of these different ancestral species. But it seems whenever I read reports about these skeletons or new findings, they always seem to be just like, you know, one bone here, a tooth here, or even fragments of these bones that are reconstructed into these skeletons. And so, I mean, how complete are these skeletons actually that we have?
Well, you're right. Lots of them are very fragmentary. But there's enough in each one of the major species, like Homo erectus, Australopithecus africanus, Australopithecus robustus, Australopithecus afarensis, and Ardipithecus ramidus, which has recently been announced.
The 4.4 million year
4.4
old.
Million year old. There is enough of these. They're not always totally complete. That sometimes there's an important bone missing. But if you piece together the different fragments from different places, we've got pretty good idea of what at least those four species were like. There are lots of other fragments, and it would be nice to have more, and no doubt more will be dug up as time goes on.
And speaking of as time goes on, when we come back, one of the questions that is raised by The Greatest Show on Earth, you present here the current evidence for evolution. Does Richard Dawkins expect that there will be even better evidence for evolution, or evidence for a material creation, materialistic creation of life from non-living matter? We will be right back with Richard Dawkins, author of The Greatest Show on Earth.
You're listening to a best of The Michael Medved Show. For complete show archives, go to michaelmedved.com and consider becoming a Medhead. Use the promo code SPRING40 for some special discounts. When you become a premium subscriber, you get access to hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and of course our commercial-free radio show going back years and years. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner today.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. During the period of home isolation, I've looked more deeply into messages in the traditional prayers I recite every morning. For instance, a key passage in ancient Jewish liturgy is the Yishtabach, or the God be praised prayer. It concludes by hailing, quote, the God of thanksgivings, Master of Wonders, who chooses melodious songs. Now, this should remind us that music, with its mysterious power to stir souls, is a divine gift, but also that not all music is created equal. We praise God not for creating music, humans do that, but for choosing the right songs. So what music would God choose? I'd assume heaven would select enduring achievements of the last 300 years, possessing depth and spirituality, rather than superficial yelps that may prove popular but fleeting. God's playlist more likely features Bach and Mozart over hip-hop or techno-pop. That meaningful choice could help all of us endure this devastating interruption in our lives. I'm Michael Medved.
With Richard Dawkins, A Greatest Show on Earth, the title of his latest book. My last question for me, and then we'll go to our callers in just a moment. The question was, do you expect better evidence still to arrive to support evolution? And do you expect some of that evidence to contain some convenient material explanation for how you evolve from dead rocks into living matter?
Yes, I certainly expect better evidence of the same kind we're already getting, particularly molecular genetic evidence is going to be piling up hugely. It gets cheaper all the time, dramatically so, and so we're going to get a huge amount of evidence of that sort. There should be lots more fossils as well. Now, your question about evidence on the transition from non-life to life.
Mm.
That's a big one. That we may never get. I hope we will. People are working on it. It wouldn't be so much from rocks. It might be from some hypothetical primeval soup in the early years of the world.
I've been talking about that for years.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. The current most promising hypothesis seems to be the so-called RNA world hypothesis, using RNA, which, as you know, is somewhat like DNA, but a bit different. RNA has some properties that make it less good than DNA at doing what DNA does, but it can do something that DNA can't do, which is catalyze chemical reactions. And so some of the most promising work going on at the moment is on the so-called RNA world theory. I do expect progress in that, but it may never actually come to anything.
I thought it would always be a great brand name if someone released a line of primeval soup.
Yes, a lovely idea, yes.
Yes, let's go to Murdoch in Dallas very quickly. Murdoch, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Dawkins.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question, and I am calling as an African-American, is that I've seen many, many arguments for racism that extend from Darwinian evolution. And some of his early writings definitely show that in the way that the species is favored over time, white races were thought to be the dominant race.
Okay. Quick comment from Richard Dawkins.
There's no question but that Darwin was racist in the sense that we would understand today. In Victorian times, everybody was racist. Darwin was no exception, and he did indeed make assumptions just such as you've made. Modern Darwinians don't do that, and indeed, a true understanding of the Darwinian theory goes actively against racism. True understanding shows that all the races should be considered to be equal and actually very, very closely related to one another. There is absolutely no basis for racism in evolutionary theory, although there is in the historical figure of Charles Darwin, just as there would be of any history of any Victorian man.
Someone born in 1809.
Yes.
Richard Dawkins, the book The Greatest Show on Earth, his previous book The God Delusion, An Attack on Religious Faith, a gleeful attack on religious faith.
A humorous one, I hope.
Well, at points. Yes. This book, a defense, and also a humorous one in many places, of Darwinian evidence in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.